Welcome to the Zillionaire Superstars podcast. My name is Angie Z, and I'm a master coach. If you are keen to learn the abundance secrets of the mega successful, so you can follow your dreams, you are absolutely in the right place. I am super passionate about helping entrepreneurs all around the world gain clarity and confidence to level up their mindset, health, and wealth. This podcast episode is proudly brought to you by the brand new Zillionaire Coaching Program, helping you to level up your mindset, health, and wealth, creating success in every area of your life. So, let's get to it. I am so excited to have this phenomenal woman here with me today, fabulous Ruby Lee. Ruby Lee is the founder of Own Your Hustle. She inspires thousands of purpose-led hustles daily and has 20,000 followers already on LinkedIn. This girl is seriously going places. She's going to be renowned all over the world if she's not already. A massive welcome, Ruby.
Oh my gosh, thank you, Angie, for having me on. What an introduction.
I thought I'd spice it up for you.
Oh my gosh, that is like, can you just do all of my intros? I freaking loved it.
I would absolutely love to. I'm a massive, massive fan already, and I've only just, you know, I'm only on the surface, you know, I've still got lots more to unravel and find out about you. So super cool, Ruby, super cool. So tell us, all the entrepreneurs out there would absolutely love to know how your wonderful life came together today. So how did you start your own business?
Okay, cool. So just as a bit of background, I did the very standard check the box thing, went to school, graduated, university, into corporate life. I was in corporate life for 12 years.
Okay.
And I loved it, right? Really right. Successful at it. I was in HR and recruitment. That was my background. And started climbing the corporate ladder, doing all of that. But it never, ever felt like enough. And I could yes. not put my finger on it. It was always more promotions, more money, accolades, awards. And someone's supposed to feel really good in that space, right?
Exactly.
I felt like there had to be more. And it came around to around, I think, 2015, where I just thought, you know what? Everyone's got a blog these days. I'm going to start one and I'm just going to give it a go, put some of my thoughts out there, you know, spread the word around like what I'm passionate about. Mind you, back then I had no idea what, you know, an online offer was and all of that. It was just to write and to get my voice out there. And lo and behold, I started to get more and more of a following. I was writing a lot about recruiting at the time, a lot about how to find like your purpose and your passion in your career.
Okay.
And before I knew it, the following started to grow. I started to monetize by helping people write their resumes, build their LinkedIn profiles, did career coaching on the side.
Mm-hmm.
And 3 years into doing that, it became so damn obvious to me that that was more of my passion, even though I wasn't even truly monetizing it at the time, than my well-paid six-figure job.
Yes.
And I thought, you know what, something's got to be done. So been a lot of things in my life. I side hustled for 3.5 years. Now I'm a full-time online entrepreneur. I teach people to start businesses whilst side hustling. So that's really my niche and where I love to play. So many of my clients were where I was at back in 2015.
Right.
And I just love it. I went all in March 2018. So it from a full-time perspective, I haven't been in it all that long, but I tell you what, when you start to do the things that light you up from a soul point of view,
mm-hmm.
everything starts to blaze and light up around you, and it's just been an incredible ride ever since.
That's amazing, super amazing. So were you even a writer when you started your blog, or were you just passionate and knew a lot about recruitment and wanted to share your expertise?
Oh, so funny. Literally, we're just going through a bit of like a spring clean at home at the moment. And my husband's like, do you know how many journals you have and how many notepads you have with written things? He's like, you were just born to write, weren't you? And I'm like, yes,
Wow. Of course.
So, no, I'm not officially a writer, although, you know, that's definitely in my path down the track.
But yes.
I've always loved writing. It's always been just a really, really big part of who I am.
And it's interesting too, because your background, as you said, was recruitment, and you're still aligned in that space, if that makes sense. Like, if you've just gone out on your own, but those expertise, no doubt, would still come in very handy for the work that you're doing and the clients you're helping.
Oh my gosh, yes. And you know, I believe everything happens for a reason, right? No such thing as coincidences. The 12 years that I had in corporate whilst being in HR and recruitment, what it taught me was so much about what I actually apply today. You know, things like understanding personality types, understanding, yes. You know, things like, okay, what does emotional intelligence really look like? How do we then start to look at things from an NLP perspective? Like, so much around learning about personalities and how all of that functions in the business world is so relevant to what I'm doing nowadays. So, you know, whoever's listening right now going, I don't understand why I'm doing what I do, I hate my job, or this mm-hmm. isn't my passion, or I don't like the business model that I've built for myself, I feel really trapped, there's always a reason for it. What are the lessons, what are the challenges that you're pulling from that to then refocus and realign to what you actually want to do?
Yeah, I love that, Ruby, and I think it's really important because a lot of people do go through this experience, right? You hear it all the time, people leaving their corporate jobs because they're not happy or they don't enjoy the work that they do, to go out on their own. But obviously, you know, a lot of people do need that support and guidance you offer because they are fearful, they're not certain, they don't have the clarity perhaps of in terms of what their new business is going to look like. So can you tell us, like, what gave you the confidence to actually turn the page into entrepreneurship?
Oh, gosh, there were probably two main moments that it really hit. The first being, in that three-year journey of being a side hustler,
yes,
I was working with a particular employer at the time who wasn't particularly keen on the side hustle.
Right.
They were very risk-averse, government-based organization, and they pretty much said I had to pull the blog down to stay employed there. Wow. And that obviously was a real clash to my own dreams, but vision, values, purpose, all of that. So I made that difficult decision to pivot, leave that business, and actually put more faith in my side hustle, because it actually felt like such a big thing that was being taken away from me.
Yes.
And I think sometimes we don't listen to our intuition, even if it is that gut feeling where it's like, that's wrong, that doesn't feel right, I feel like that's just a big part of me that would be missing. Listen to that. And so we made the, as a couple, like me and my husband, obviously it was a decision together that I would leave. He would actually then come in as a primary carer. So we've got two boys, two kids.
Yes.
He would come in as a primary carer, look after the kids, and I would go out fully into my side hustle, but at the same time find a part-time role that could support us financially. So there was an 18-month period where I needed that financial runway,
yes,
before stepping fully into my business. And this is where, you know, I think a lot of the time we're often told, you know, you just take that leap and it'll happen for you. I believe that. I definitely do.
Yes.
But you need to have your financial stuff in order. Otherwise, it will just spin into things like not enoughness, a sense of lack,
yes,
a sense of worry. Financial anxiety is the worst possible energy you could have backing a new business.
Yes.
And because everyone feels it around you. And I knew that I had about 18 months to build up what I needed to feel comfortable.
Yeah.
So I found an incredible role, head of recruitment of a tech startup business,
mm-hmm,
and I know I manifested that 100%, came to me at the right time, and I got to surround myself with entrepreneurs for 18 months, and these
fantastic
are tech entrepreneurs, startup entrepreneurs who, you know, they're made and they're cut from a different cloth, you know,
yes,
it's just like, you know what, rejection is just a part of entrepreneurship, and you get up, like you fall down and you get up, you know, that saying where like you get pushed
down the
amount of times and
yep,
you get pick up another time, you know, 71 times and all that stuff. Like, I love that. And that's what I needed at the time. So 18 months into that, I felt ready. And a financial cue for me was that I was set up financially. I did the
mm-hmm
things. I saved. I did the budgeting. I knew what I felt comfortable with. But more than that, because I was still career coaching and doing resumes and all of that, I actually hit $100,000 in my side hustle alone. And that was a big, big, big goal of mine.
Yes.
And if I could make that kind of money on the side,
Yep.
Imagine what I could do being full time business. So that was just my absolute cue to go all in.
Amazing, amazing. And, you know, in a sense, you took even a bigger risk, because some people are scared to take the leap of faith even when they're on their own, but you were supporting your family, which is a big call, right?
Oh, massive. And look, you know, I definitely got the raised eyebrows from my extended family, like, what the hell are you doing? You know, I think a lot of people were just like, this is not the model that, you know, we're supposed to follow. What do you mean? Why are you both quitting your fantastic jobs? And we just had such a vision for what our most authentic life would look like. And it certainly didn't have an employer or an office in, like, in our minds, like, with that vision. It was sitting by the beach, watching the kids grow up wherever we wanted to be in the world, having an online virtual business, and just, like, loving waking up every day to create and to just step into the things that felt so expansive rather than sitting in traffic or sitting on the train, you know, that, and then just, like, having to watch the time and when we can leave and meetings upon meetings that just feel so fruitless. And for us, it was just like, no, that's not going to happen anymore. So
with that
vision in mind, I mean, the family stuff, the financial stuff, all the practical, it fell into place, because at the same time you still need to level and work out how are we going to get there. So,
yeah. And, I mean, Ruby, I think you sound like a very, very determined person as well. Would that be right? Fair to say?
Yeah, it's 100% when I have my eye on something, I get it. I know I do. Yes. I get there. And it's always been the case, like, you know, even if it's like I want to date that boy.
Yes.
I want to get into that university course. I want that job. I want that promotion. Now it's, I want this most amazing life that I can see for myself, and I'm doing what I need to do to get there, but also at the same time surrendering into flow, trusting the universe, believing that there are so many things working for us that we can't even see, we can't even feel, all of that, but doing the action, doing the work, and backing it up at the same time.
Awesome. I love it. I love it. So you brought up a really good point, and something entrepreneurs can struggle with from time to time. And I was talking to the beautiful, your friend, actually, Alexis, who's a money coach.
Oh, yes,
she's Alexa. So gorgeous. And she was sharing her story about how she first started off in the entrepreneurial world, and how she ended up doing the same as you, being smart about it, and she had to go back and have a part-time job. She realized quite quickly she wasn't able to just launch straight in from, you know, corporate right through to having your own business full-time. What's your view on that? Because I know that you've actually done a diploma of financial services as well. So what advice would you give entrepreneurs in terms of setting them up in a really smart way where they don't have that financial anxiety?
Yeah, I mean, it depends what path you want to take. Do you want to be self-funded, or are you seeking funding? And then out of funding, what sort of funding are you looking for, right?
Yes.
I chose to be self-funded. It was just for me, it was the most aligned action to take. So by self-funding, often that means finding an employer, because they end up being your, you know, your VC, or they end up being your angel investor. Think about it that way.
Mm-hmm.
And whatever salary you're pulling in, whether it's a part-time job, a casual, or even full-time, be very intentional with how you are using that funding. So take, let's say, you know, you're getting anywhere between like 50 to 70K a year. And how are you using that? So if that's your funding, sure, there's a portion of it that needs to obviously, you know, service the family and your loan or your rent, whatever that is. And then with the leftover, how are you going to start actually plugging that into your business rather than, you know, doing all the things that you did with it prior? Because it's only for a short period of time that you've made the decision financially. So for me, it was always, what's the runway that I need to feel comfortable and to feel happy? And it was to have 3 months to cover all of my mortgage repayments, school stuff, kids stuff, enough to actually, like, go on a holiday. It wasn't about living a dire life. It was still having time for dinners, cocktails with the girlfriends, buying nice clothes, getting my hair done. Like, I still wanted to have, like, a nice life and not be an absolute pauper, because that's not the mindset I wanted to go in with. So I knew what my number was. If I could save that to cover my lifestyle, then I was going to feel ready enough to go all in with my business. And that's what I worked towards. Now, if you're going towards funding and you're seeking an angel investor or private equity, maybe not at that stage yet, but like a venture capitalist, like Shark Tank style funding model,
yes,
then do your research and get your pitch right, because investors buy into you and your brand and know exactly how much money you need in order to go all in with your hustle.
Awesome. Yes, definitely. Now, another thing that a lot of entrepreneurs, and correct me if I'm wrong, because obviously you're speaking to a lot of people that want to have their side hustle in addition to a role that they're currently in, but it seems to be that they struggle getting the clarity on their business, and we spoke about that briefly before we started the podcast. Can you tell us a little bit about what you found has worked for them in terms of getting clear?
Yeah, oh my gosh, I love this topic so much, because we were saying just before we went on air, there's so many entrepreneurs out there that feel like, okay, I'm really clear. Then, you know, essentially I'd be like, okay, cool, tell me what you do. In a short, like, pitch me, or just how would you talk about it casually to a mate or a friend? Mm-hmm. And off they go, and I'm like, all right, well, is there more to that? Like, are you, is that where you're at, or is there more to it? And they're like, no, is that not clear? And I'm like, well, is it clear to you? And suddenly you can just sort of see their eyeballs darting around. Yes. They're like, oh, well, it is sort of clear. I'm like, no, sort of clear is different to being super clear. And the other question I love to ask is, well, how much would you flex on that? So let's say you've got a client who's not quite fully aligned to that vision that you just told me about. Would you still take them on? Well, yeah, of course, it's money. And I'm like, So check yourself. If that's the case, it's being so super aligned with the soul clients that you want to attract, that you're so excited to wake up for and to like to help grow. Because, you know, every time you pick up a client, someone that you've worked with, or maybe it's even a collaboration that you know is actually not quite aligned, it always ends up feeling hard and difficult.
Yes.
Things crop up, or you don't feel energetically right or aligned.
Yes.
It's like, oh, I don't really want to hop on a call today. Oh, I feel like really drained. Or after you've done a collab, it's like, thank God that's over. Like, I think we've all been there, because the thing about clarity in business is you've got to give things a shot. But as soon as you know it's not right, it's not aligned, it's not energetically connecting to you, just make that pivot. Write it down. What was it that feel right? Because that essentially is what helps you become so clear with what you're here to put, what, why you're on this earth to do what you do.
Yeah, and I love that about the client attraction piece, because I do know that too. So especially in startup phase, right, sometimes people get so freaked out over the finances that they pretty much accept anything from their clients and then believe that they should have just accept the behavior, you know, the way the client's acting, and it feels, like a really difficult, you know, uphill battle. And often you don't get the results, particularly, you know, if you're in a service-based business and something like that, you're working with a client, and so you're both going to walk away unhappy at the end of the day, and that's definitely not what you want to attract more of.
Oh my gosh, and I've been there. You know, when I first started, I was exactly in that space where I thought, okay, I've got someone who actually wants to pay me to be their coach. That is amazing. And, you know, I'm going to take so much learning experience from it. Like, they're not quite right, but it's okay. I'll make it work.
Mm.
And what ended up happening in that situation, oh my gosh, Ange, I was like bending over backwards. I was over-servicing the client. It felt just so soul-destroying on some days. Like, to be completely honest, I felt like I wasn't enough. It made me feel like I wasn't cut out for the job.
Yep.
And then it started to bring up all of those limiting beliefs, you know, like, oh my gosh, like maybe I'm not meant to be doing this.
Yes.
Who am I to think I was meant to be this coach? When really the root cause of it all was that they were the wrong client for me and I was the wrong coach for them. And I didn't have that eye at the time to see that up front, nor was I open to seeing that, because all I saw was a money exchange.
Correct.
And so many lessons came out of that particular instance.
Oh, definitely. And look, it is, in that period, it can be a money exchange, but it's also a matter of valuing yourself and your product and services.
Yes.
And if you don't, of course the client's not. They're going to ask for discounts. They want you to do stuff for free. They're going to like want extra sessions and things like that. So it's like really understanding your worth and your value as a, not only as a person or as a coach, but also in your service or products itself.
I mean, 100%. It's just one of those things that, you know, it takes time.
Yes.
But it doesn't take that much time. Mm. You know, it's if you're going into business going, oh, it is going to be really hard, I would often say, yeah, it's going to be really hard, but it's actually also going to be a lot easier than you think.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. If you're going in with that mindset of, oh, this is going to be really hard, yes, it will be because you're creating it. Yeah. Yeah.
So, and often the hard part isn't in the setup and the strategy, and it's not even in doing all the technical things like starting this podcast, for example, you know, that you work that out. There's enough tutorials out there and there's enough people that can help you. The hard work is the inner work. The hard work is the mindset. The hard work is getting over your own bullshit, you know?
Stuff
that's like, oh, damn, I have to deal with that. Yes, you do, because that's what makes you a stronger entrepreneur.
Correct. And that's massively important because every business is a reflection of the owner.
Yes, exactly.
So what are some of the challenges, like, in terms of people coming to you for guidance and support around their side hustle? What are the common themes usually, Ruby?
Okay, so common themes, I would say, is always mostly around where to start.
Okay.
And it's, you know, around, like, I don't know how to find my passion.
Right.
The other part is definitely around, I would say, confidence, self-doubt, imposter syndrome, massive one. Who am I to show up as this person when 100,000 other people are already doing the thing that I want to do?
Yeah.
And then it's like leading into things like, okay, well then how do I, as side hustlers, how do I stay accountable because I have a busy job and I have all of these goals, but I still need to be funded by my employer. And then I've got life, I have kids or I have commitments or I have, you know, demanding relationship or I've got health stuff. How do I stay accountable? And I think as they start to work through that and really get clear on their overall goals, it starts to get into things like, well, how do I build an aligned tribe and a client base that feels really aligned to me? How do I show up online authentically as me with personal branding that really, you know, pops and feels right and feels authentic? And all those things, like, you know, then you start to really graduate more into taking that leap and becoming that full-time entrepreneur. But often it's just the early stage. Where's my passion? What's my why? Where's my purpose? How do I find that? How do I feel linked into that?
Yeah, that makes sense. That makes sense. So what would you say are some of the mindset, the keys to like a successful mindset with these entrepreneurs and with the coaching that you do? What would you put it down to? What are the top three things?
Comes down to, I feel, your daily habits of success, what you feel you, how much room you're making for mindset, because mindset is a muscle.
Mm-hmm.
It's definitely not something you can study. It's how much time you put into it. It's, you know, just like if you decide that you want to have super toned arms, well, how many times a week at the gym do you need to do that and practice that? Same with your mindset practice. So for me, from a practical perspective, a lot of my clients will initially start with journaling. Journaling on taking action, journaling on gratitude, journaling on vision setting. All those things are how you begin to really hook into what you want from a mindset perspective.
Yes.
And then it's going into things like, okay, let's dive into spirituality in business. Let's dive into your meditation practice. Let's dive into things and the tools that you want to include in your business practice. So, you know, I actually attract a lot of amazing, like, woo-woo, I will call them entrepreneurs, who are very practical in what they're providing out there, like life coaching, for example, but they might incorporate things like pulling affirmation cards. They might incorporate things like what crystals are they buying to, you know, absorb negative energy and then amplifying all the great energy. Also things like what are we doing in terms of like NLP work and programming your mind work. So all of those things are like different levels. It just depends how much you want to go into that. Even things like yoga and how that feeds into your soul, you know, doing like very deep levels of meditation practice, like Kundalini yoga, Kundalini meditation. I mean, we could just go levels and levels of deep there, but essentially it's just about knowing who you are on the inside, because that reflects on the outside.
Yes, definitely. And that's so important, particularly for longevity of the business as well.
Totally.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's the stuff that when the boat rocks a little bit, when it starts to look a little bit, harrowing outside, and people are going, you know, the initial hype of you starting your business and all that support starts to wane a little bit, and then you feel like, okay, this is me. Like, I chose this life. Here I am sitting in front of my computer, service-based entrepreneurs, spend a lot of time alone. That's where all the mindset stuff kicks in. That's where your muscle kicks in. That's when it's like, I feel so lonely in my decision to do this. Where do I go to feel comforted and feel just so empowered? It's actually within you. It's within you. And your friends and the business besties that you make, the masterminds that you join, that's super helpful. And that will come because you will know exactly what mastermind and, you know, support network you need around you. But first and foremost, you need to get comfortable with your own voice, with the voices in your own head, and understanding what is ego versus what is you from, like, that real heart-centered, soul-led, purpose-led entrepreneur voice, you know?
Yes, beautiful. Yeah, and you definitely lead by example on that, Ruby.
Thanks, Angie. Oh, it's just like such a big passion point of mine. I could just keep talking and talking about it.
Oh, I know. I swear, like, this podcast could go forever. There's so many amazing things we could talk about. But can you tell us a little bit about a challenging time you've experienced in your journey and how you were able to overcome that?
Oh, gosh. Yeah, I mean, I think for me one of the biggest things is always the first time I launched a product. So my product are online courses, right?
Okay.
So putting something out there for the first time, and I was happily building away my course. Yes. I was happily talking to my tribe about it, which might I add was a starter tribe, so it was very small.
Right.
And I put myself out there, launched the product, and no one bought the course. Zero registrations.
Okay.
And I was so down about it because I'd spent 6 weeks building it. It was so good. But do you know what? It didn't matter how good it was, because I wasn't talking to my people about what they actually wanted. I wasn't, you know, testing it. I didn't have a bunch of people out there who I could, you know, go to and say, hey, is this something that you would want? Is this something that you would be looking for? What do you see in me as a coach that I could present out there to the world in the form of a course?
Yes.
And that massive flop was such a learning experience for me. And this only happened about 11 months ago. It wasn't that long ago. And I remember just thinking, oh, my gosh, am I cut out for this? What am I doing? I thought this is what I wanted to do. I've seen people launch digital courses all the time. They're just making like 100 grand launches. Like, I know it's within me to do this. I can see it. But what happened? So all of that came to a real head. Look, trust me, I did the whole like rocking myself in the corner thing. I did the whole like bawling my eyes out thing and, you know, really bringing up all the things like from a self-worth point of view.
Yes.
And I went, it's so obvious. I just didn't involve my people. I wasn't talking to them. I wasn't showing my expertise. I hadn't done the inner work. I hadn't shown myself that I was capable of doing so much more. And the very next course that I put, I got back on the horse, the course bandwagon and the horse.
Yes.
And I just started to talk about it more. I learned from my mistakes. I started to involve more people. I started to test the course.
Mm.
And look, that went out there. It had like a 15 grand launch. I remember it just did so well. And but sometimes you just need to go through those moments where it's like, oh, why? And, you know, seeing through it. And yeah, ever since then, I've launched like 4 flagship courses, 8 online masterclasses. Like, it is just, I've loved it now. So now it's just my thing.
That's super awesome. Well, that's right. That's how we do learn, right? We learn what we do wrong from the failures in our life rather than the success.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, I love that. It's funny, like at the time you kind of go, this is the worst thing ever. I'm in a deep, dark hole. Like, oh my gosh, that means I'll have to like go back, find a real job. No. And all of my dreams have been crushed. But now it's amazing sharing that story with my clients on podcasts, just how many people message back just saying, thank you for saying you went through that, because it's just taught me so much. And sometimes these universal lessons come to you for that very reason, to be that teacher, to be that guide, to be that person leading the way so that others don't have to follow, you know, that same mistake, and they can accelerate their growth so much faster.
Yeah, 100%. So were you able to use some of the content from that beautiful course that you created at the beginning?
No, scrapped it all. Because it
really?
None of it was relevant. It wasn't relevant. It wasn't what I was meant to be teaching the world. It was very focused on career stuff when I actually went out there with my first masterclass launch and course. It was all about social media marketing, starting a side hustle, basic business.
Yes.
You know, that was what, and that is what I still am here to teach, how to start your own business rather than career fulfillment. Like that door had closed. I haven't seen it. Yeah. Mm.
That makes so much sense, actually, now that you said that. So the difference was, though, for the second one that was successful, you went out and asked your tribe, you know, can you go through this or test this out for me, or what do you want to learn, that type of thing. So you're just doing the consulting piece, so to speak.
I put some polls out there to say, what is it that you want to learn from me? And at the time, I had a very small social media following, but it was enough to give me an indication. Yeah. It wasn't about the volume of people. It was just about the quality of responses.
Yes.
And at the time, it was like, cool, so these are the things that we want to learn from you. We want to learn about how you started your side hustle. Mm-hmm. We want to learn about how you started to dominate LinkedIn.
Okay.
And we want to learn about how you balance it all. You know, and I'm like, oh, that's what you want to learn about? Oh.
Yeah.
You know, this is just light bulb moment where I'm like, oh my god, and I love talking about those topics, like,
exactly,
why the hell haven't I been talking about it, you know? And it's just these, like, sometimes it's right in front of you.
Exactly. It's so true. But I think too, you probably created, like you said, you created it, took you a long time, like the 6 weeks and what have you, and you put all your heart and soul into it. But it was more coming from what you used to do, like the recruitment, thinking that people wanted this career guidance, when in fact they wanted to learn from you and about your experiences and how to make their own side hustle work. Yeah, so that's pretty cool. That's awesome. And way more fun, right, than talking about
so
career fulfillment.
My God, so much more fun. Like, I am so pleased that I was chosen to do this at this time.
Yeah.
You know, I feel like I've won the lottery. It's like, yes.
Awesome. But it's attributed to your hard work. So it's all good. It's all good. It's all working. So tell us, what are some of your success rituals? So what would you do, whether, you know, it's a daily, weekly, monthly practice? What do you do to keep you in the right mindset and keep you going?
Every day, without a doubt, I write, I journal.
Okay.
And I also do meditation. So even if it's for 5 minutes a day, I will spend time in my own, like, resetting my mind, reprogramming it, visioning what I want the end of the day to look like.
Yes.
And I know that I'll get there. So that's just a huge success ritual for me. And I feed myself, you know, with a lot of information. So if I am not coaching, which, you know, I do a lot of in the day, or if I'm not giving my energy out, like even speaking on podcasts or, you know, doing interviews and things like that, I spend the rest of my time protecting my energy. So I go inner, I do a lot of that, that sense of, okay, well, what do I need to learn? Who do I need to learn from? What am I craving to learn about lately? And diving into that, making space and time to grow as an entrepreneur as well. And just having just a stack load of family time that works for me, because I do this so I can have more time with the husband and with the kids. I don't do this to then sit in a chair for the next like 15 hours and not move. Like, that's not what that's not my ideal life. That's not my most authentic, happy life. So I have chunks in my day where I block it out, and literally my assistant knows, like, anything that's color-coded green, it's like nothing can go in there. It's just my green time. It's my happy time, which is like just rolling around on the ground with my 3-year-old, or,
yeah, exactly,
you know, playing basketball with my 11-year-old, or just going on a date night with my husband. Like,
yes,
I need to have those times. Like, that is the work. Like, yeah, going on a date night with my husband is all the inner work you need to program yourself for success.
Yeah. 100%. And people underestimate the power of play, right? And how much it does recharge you and rejuvenate. It gives you more creativity and ideas, and it helps you thrive really in business.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's the thing. Like, I have this powerful mastermind group that me and my girlfriends have. We catch up once a month and we spend half the day drinking wine, talking about business, and just having so many laughs, like just so much fun. We're just sharing everything, you know, as, you know, girls, you get together.
Yes.
That is just so energizing. I can't explain it,
but
you come out of it and it's like new courses come out,
yes,
new clients come through, new ideas, like everything just starts to flow from there.
100%. I find that hanging out with like-minded people is so important. But Ruby, I don't believe I've ever in all my time heard someone talk about protecting your energy. Can you tell us a little bit more about that?
Yeah, I mean, so protecting your energy for me is just, because I'm a coach, right? Like, I give a lot.
Yes.
Coaches just spend so much time, even if it's not actively on a call or actively, you know, on a live stream or something like that. You are always thinking about your clients. You're,
yes,
always wondering, oh, yeah, or you see something online, you're like, I've got to send that through. Oh, this would be really relevant. Even when I'm reading books, I'm like, I need to send this to this client who needs to hear this. But sometimes it's just about consciously and intentionally shutting off energy that goes out. So it's in a physical sense, putting away your phone, putting away your laptop, just like locking yourself away in a physical room for an hour where you get to just do the things that you really want to do. And sometimes, mm-hmm, it is, you know, just sitting in meditation. Other times, the room that you might be locking yourself away in is just going to get a massage. It's all self-care. You know, it's,
yes,
like giving yourself that time to, you know, unapologetically look after how you look, because how you look sometimes is what feeds that energy back into you. So it's a strange analogy, I know, but it's like protecting your energy sometimes is just about going to get a blowout done and getting your hair done and you feel great, because then it re-energizes you. So
exactly,
think about ways that you can protect your energy through self-care,
yeah,
through being alone with yourself in meditation, journaling, whatever that looks like, even yoga, or just going on a 5K run. That turns some people on, where it's just like, it's just me time.
Yes.
And I just need to put one foot in front of the other and just go for a massive long run, or just walk on the beach, you know. And it's just something that I do because I know it protects my energy and helps rejuvenate it.
Beautiful. And what, because I know a lot of people do journal, but what for you personally, what's the major benefit from journaling that you get out of it?
For me, it's 100% manifestation, and whatever I write and I see for myself comes to pass.
Mm.
Because I'm a huge believer that if you have certain goals and dreams, they're your goals and dreams to have. No one else can have that, right? So you might have a goal, Angie, that I would just 100% not resonate with because it's not me. But the reason why you can see the next level version of you, like if I were to ask you right now, close your eyes, see that next level version of you.
Yes.
You could probably clearly see it. You could see, mm-hmm, where you're living, what car you're driving, what clothes you have on, how many holidays you're taking a year, all those things, right? The upgrades that you would instantly get if you were to hit, let's say, a certain financial goal in your business. And that is yours to have. It is 100% yours to have. You just have to go and grab it, like put your hand out there and take it, because you would not have that vision if it wasn't yours to have.
Yes.
And in journaling, that is the mental model, that is the practice of believing, and it comes back to visualization, self-worth, confidence, empowerment, all those things that we get to actually dive into and do that mental work. So, you know, it's always been like I could tell you all the stories that have come to pass in my journaling, all the things, like even the apartment I'm living in now, even things like world travel next year, the type of clients I call into my business. If we were to go through my journals, oh, my God, it would send goosebumps, like, just down your spine.
I love that.
How accurate it is.
Oh, yeah. I love when that happens. That's just amazing. You give me goosebumps just talking about it.
Oh, it's just incredible.
So, Ruby, I think what we're going to have a part two with you because this is gold, seriously.
Let's do it.
I'm sure all the listeners out there will say the same. Now, what's the best way to contact you if anyone wants to know more information about your courses or following you on Instagram?
Yeah, I hang out on Instagram all the time. So great. Come find me. I'm at @RubyLee_, and everything's on there. The links to my courses is in my bio. I do stories every day. I do a bunch of live streams. So that's just my favorite happy place to hang out.
Beautiful. I love your work. Massive continued success to you and to your family as well. And we can't wait to see what 2019 brings.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me on your amazing podcast. And I am so looking forward to more episodes from you as well.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Zillionaire Superstars podcast. There is more to life than you think. Let me show you the possibilities. If you enjoyed this episode, please leave a review on iTunes. And for further information, visit angelinazimmerman.com. Catch you next time.